No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all of those joining us live, wherever you are on the interweb, good evening to you and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am your host, Dave Minuk, joined by my boy over there, Ezzy Ginsberg. Drew is away from the show this evening. We're giving him the night off, and it looks like he's going to go with the Jets and take the rest of the night off, much like they did for our vast periods of that game, as we were, of course, at Canada Life in our seats in the press box, but through the magic of our vehicle, we managed to get here for the third period and watch that game. So what was your takeaway from the first shutout of the Jets? The Jets have suffered this season, falling to 10-5-1 after the Penguins took it 3-0 here in Winnipeg.
The Jets had chances, Dave, but like they just couldn't finish. But, you know, unfortunate second sellout. Like the crowd tonight was lit. Like it was raucous. Mm-hmm. People were excited. We were noticing more Penguins jerseys, I think, than we saw last time the Penguins were in town. But, you know, unfortunate that, you know, they couldn't take advantage of the Saturday night national TV crowd and sold out crowd, as we just mentioned. It just was a game that just seemed a step slow. Like you had no shortage of chances, and you know, the Jets had a couple power plays and they got some decent looks, but I mean, it just wasn't a very crisp game, as you like to say, Dave. And you know, you just didn't have a lot of guys that seemed like they were generating a lot of offense. Like, loved Pierre-Luc Dubois' game, and we'll get into it a little bit later, right? Like, he draws a couple penalties. He took a bad penalty in the first period. That roughing penalty was pretty inexplicable, but he made up for it, right? He had a really strong game. I mean, you saw him battling in front of the net there when the Jets had Hellebuck pulled. Unfortunately, you know, it led to a Brian Rust goal after Hellebuck inexplicably coughed it up to Sidney Crosby there. We'll get into that. I just don't know why Hellebuck wasn't pulled earlier. Like, the Jets couldn't get possession in the Penn zone, Dave, that's for sure. But, I mean, you have to make that decision. If you're going to go off, you go, right? Like, there's situations where, you know, you have to, based on what's happening, you know, you have to go back in your net. But, you know, the Jets were still in it at that point. So, yeah, a disappointing loss. You know, it ends a good run for the Jets at home. But, you know, give Pittsburgh credit. Like, you know, they're coming off of that big win over the Wild. And they played a pretty solid defensive game. Tristan Jarry was excellent. You know, he was flipping and flopping all over the place, mishandling the puck behind the net on a bunch of occasions. But, you know, he picks up the shutout. He hasn't had a good year, as you know, Dave. And as Penguins fans know, you know, sub-3 goals against average, sub-9 save percentage. So, look, this was just not a very good hockey game. You know, the Jets, I wouldn't say played poorly, but they also didn't play that great. So, you know, a tough loss, but you kind of have to flush one of these games, right? Like, sometimes you haven't had a lot of these bad games lately. The last bad game, I would say, was against the Golden Knights on the road, where they managed to get that 1 point. But, yeah, tonight it was just not the Jets' night.
Well, I mean, and as it's interesting, because if, you know, it's not that long ago that we were starting the Illegal Curve hockey show just about 12 hours ago, and now we're starting our second show of the day. But, you know, we ended the show on the Saturday talking about the Nikolaj Ehlers news, of course, the fact that, you know, he'll have sports hernia surgery next week and, you know, they expect him back for this season, but the expectation is that he could miss 6 to 12 weeks of the regular season. And I thought, talk about a game where you could have a guy who's a zone entry machine on your squad. You could really use a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers. And tonight's game, I thought, was one of those, because the Jets really just, they didn't attack with speed. And I think that's one of the things you observed and said to me, so I'm now stealing it from you, but I think it's a good point. I think that was one of the things we didn't really see from the Jets today, was gaining the zone with speed. And whenever they did attack, the Penguins lined up. Like, the Penguins didn't really allow the Jets to gain access to the zone. So they really could have used a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers. And, you know, we touched on it a little bit towards the end of that show, Ez, but I mean, that it is such a significant loss. And the question becomes, what does this Jets team do? Because, well, you're going to have guys, and we look, Mikey Esmond, I thought in the first period, was somewhat noticeable trying to create a little bit. But, you know, as the game, as that slog wore on, it was, you know, more and more apparent that the Jets could use a little bit more finish. And I'm not suggesting a finish type player, but I'm saying that they could use a player with a little more high end skill to provide them with a little bit of offense, because it is. And again, I understand that it's lacking because you've now committed to better defense. So when you're one of the best teams in terms of goals against in the NHL, we knew that that was going to come with, you know, a bit of a sacrifice, and that was going to be some of the goals that you've scored. And you look at Pittsburgh, as we discussed on the show this morning, Ezzy, they're like, what, 64 goals for, before the game, and 62 against, or something along those lines. So, you know, there's teams that have scored a lot more. They've also given up a lot more. Pittsburgh came in scoring quite a few goals, and obviously they got a few at the end. It was basically two empty netters, though. It was essentially a 1-0 game. But I don't know. Like, it is watching a game like that, does that make you more or less likely to think, hey, the Jets are going to have to probably do something to bring someone in to augment this group?
Yeah, exactly. I think you know what I'm going to say here. I think now that we know that Ehlers is going to be out, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, 2.5 months, whatever it is, I think, you know, you have to think that, you know, a move is coming. I don't think it's going to come tomorrow, right, Dave? But you'd have to think, you know, there's a good chance over the next few weeks, if it isn't a waiver pickup, right? Like Mikey McIntyre of the Free Press, who we had on this morning show, mentioned a guy like Tyson Jost, right? So if it isn't Tyson Jost, that's the type of player you're looking for, right? Like a kind of fringe top six guy, but a guy that can play in your top six, as far as waiver wire pickups. But if you're going to explore, you know, bringing in a more established, you know, higher ceiling type of forward, then yeah, you're looking at moving a roster player, moving a draft pick like Drew was suggesting. But it's really tough to know when exactly that will happen, right? Like, you're right, Dave, like you needed a spark in this game, and Ehlers oftentimes with his speed and skill gives you that spark. And I thought Scheifele, Connor and Gagne, like, look at, they had some chances, like they weren't, you know, 10 bell chances, but you know, you had, I thought a game like this as well, you could really see, you know, that the third and fourth line wasn't creating a lot of offense. Right. And, you know, I mentioned this to you at the game, Dave, and I believe I've mentioned this on previous post game shows. Like, I like the look of the third line with Lowry, Mantalainen, and Johnsson Fjällby, but they're just not creating enough offense. Like, they have the ability, you know, to put the puck in there. I thought Lowry was excellent tonight, right? Like, you saw him, you know, on the back check, Crosby, denying Crosby a scoring chance. Like, he was really good tonight. And as I mentioned, I thought, you know, Connor and Scheifele were probably the Jets' best forwards. But when you talk about like Dubois, Wheeler, Wheeler didn't have the best game. I thought Perfetti had a good game. But you know, you're looking at this roster, and it can't always be Scheifele, Connor, Dubois, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be, tonight's a perfect example of a game in which they were generating offense, but they weren't obviously finishing, and you just didn't have a lot. Like you mentioned, like, I think Mikey Essiemont ended up with, the fourth line only ended up with like 4 minutes each, right?
Right.
Gustafsson. I didn't really understand why Gustafsson wasn't used more. Like, I realized that he's used on the PK, but he made that really nice pass to, I believe it was Kyle Connor in front of the net, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, or somebody in the chat can correct me, but Gustafsson made a nice little backhand pass to Connor in front of the net, and it didn't result in a goal, but it was a decent scoring chance, and it shows you, you know, how he's got that touch. As you've talked about, Dave, I don't think anybody's expecting David Gustafsson to, you know, score 20 or 25 goals this year or put up 50 points, but you can see, you know, for a guy who's 21, 22 years old, you can see that, you know, he's more than just a defensively responsible forward. He's got that playmaking ability, right? So I thought Gustafsson was good, even though he only played 5 minutes. But I think you are starting to see, you know, when the Jets aren't producing, you know, offensive, when the Jets aren't producing offense from the top six, you're starting to see, you know, where you could use maybe, you know, another top six forward in your lineup, right? So, look at this game was not beautiful. The Jets, fortunately, you know, have built themselves up a nice little cushion in the Central Division. But yeah, this is not a game, if you were going to show someone, you know, if someone had never watched hockey before, you're not going to show them this game, that's for sure.
Well, and remember, look, it's not as if the Penguins dominated the Jets. You know, the Penguins came in, you know, I think that their numbers, as correct me if I'm wrong, but whatever, they had a losing record the last 10. Obviously,
they'd won three of their last 10. That would have changed with tonight's game, but
right.
Yeah, but they were coming off a win over Minnesota, but yeah, they're a very, they're right in the middle of the Eastern Conference standings. They're not in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been, I would say, a very mediocre first 15 or 16 games of the season.
Yeah, and I was going to say is that it's not like Pittsburgh dominated the Jets. I mean, it was a 1-0 game for all intents and purposes. And if you look at the analytics, right, the high danger chances were, I think, 9 each. And like, it was, you know, it was essentially the very similar numbers for both teams. So realistically, this game could have gone either way. And one of the things I think the Jets didn't do enough of was they didn't create enough chaos in front of Tristan Jarry. And that's, you know, I mean, how many times did we look at each other and we're like, you're not scoring on an NHL goaltender. Like Cole Perfetti, you know, has a good shot, but he would have been better served a couple of times to just shoot it into the feet and hope he gets a deflection goal.
Very few rebounds, very few second chances. Yeah.
And it's just right into the chest, and Jari's like saving that every day of the week. So, and remember, he's not even coming in with a lot of confidence, but I think the way the Jets took advantage of their shots, it gave him the ability to kind of build himself up and feel good about his game. So, you know, a tough circumstance for the Jets, but I do think that's one of the things that they could have, you know, done a little bit better was try to create a little bit of confusion in front of Tristan Jarry and really, you know, allowed for their group to get some rebounds, because as a result, they didn't, and it killed a lot of the momentum.
Well, and give, you know, the thing with Pittsburgh is like, whether or not Pittsburgh, you know, makes the playoffs or goes very far. I mean, the thing is the Penguins seem to always make the playoffs. That's the thing. They rarely miss the playoffs in the Crosby, Malkin, Letang era. Right. But, you know, you forget, not you, Dave, but some people forget, right? Like, you know, Malkin and Letang, it wasn't a given in the offseason that they were coming back, right? There were some question marks whether they were going to bring the band back together, right? Mm-hmm. So when you bring in a guy like Jeff Petrie, you know, from Montreal, like, I mean, this Penguins team is not going to be just happy with, you know, getting close to the playoffs. Like, this is a team that they want to go far. And right now, as they're constructed, I can't see them going very far in the playoffs, Dave. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at that defense and, you know, it's big and it's mobile. Right? Like, you've obviously got Chris Letang and Brian Dumoulin, who've been with the Pens for a long time, but Marcus Pettersson, Jeff Petrie, Jan Ruda, like, these are big boys.
Yeah.
And I agree with you when you say, like, there wasn't a lot of net front presence for the Jets. It was a lot of, you know, get the point, get the shot back to the point, or, you know, shots that Jarry didn't give up a rebound. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, you didn't see a lot of magic down low. And you were seeing that quite a bit against Anaheim. Right? Like, you were seeing those down low type of plays working. And so you give Pittsburgh a little bit of credit, even though they're, you know, pretty mediocre, as I mentioned. Mediocre is, I guess, my word of the night here, Dave. But, you know, it is a big defense. And, you know, you've still got, you know, Crosby and Malkin and Gensel, Brian Rust. You've got Jeff Carter in the 3C spot, even though, you know, Carter is not looking like the same player that he once was.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for him to continuing his, you know, NHL career with the Pens. But, yeah, it was just, it wasn't a very solid overall game for both teams. But yeah, the Jets just weren't getting a lot of second chances. And even though they had some high danger chances, it was just one of those games where they didn't have it. And, you know, you got to move on to the next game and, you know, kind of flush this one, as I said earlier.
Well, and you know, as before we get into the Betway game recap, which won't have a very long one because unlike some games, there
might be the shortest one we've done.
Yeah, there are not a ton of goals to discuss. I thought what we should mention, because I like to mention things that we notice in the arena. First of all, you're right. I think the second sellout of the season for the Jets, and you are 100% right in the sense that the atmosphere in the building, I don't know if it was evident to those who were at home watching on television, but it was a joyous atmosphere. Maybe it was a Santa Claus parade that took place on Portage earlier in the afternoon, but people were in a festive mood. There was a lot of excitement. You could feel a little bit of a buzz. Maybe that was carryover from Thursday, Ezzy, but you know, it just felt like, oh, this is Saturday Night Hockey. Let's get rolling here. And the one thing I wanted to point out that I really liked was, and I've never seen this before on one of these Hockey Fights Cancer games, because it's actually not even the Jets Hockey Fights Cancer night. I think that's at the end of the year, at the end of November when they play the Avs. But I really liked that the players came off the blue line for the anthems and went around in a circle and kind of showed like an interwoven support, you know, in the fight against cancer, because I thought that was very cool. I thought that, I don't know if that was scripted, because I saw pictures from other arenas. I didn't see other teams doing that. So I'm not sure how that kind of came about, but I thought that was, I thought that was pretty neat. I thought that was kind of show that there's, you know, there are no teams when it comes to everybody's on the same team, I should say, when you're fighting cancer. So I kind of liked, I liked that from both from the players, and I thought it was kind of a neat moment, if you will.
Absolutely. True North did a great job with that. The NHL does a great job with their Hockey Fights Cancer events. And yeah, it was the energy was, you could feel it, you know, you could definitely feel it tonight. And it was one of those games where it just, the play on the ice didn't match the energy in the crowd, right? Like it just didn't. And, you know, even though Pittsburgh is one of those teams that, again, you kind of look at and you say, okay, the Jets are better than this team, but the Jets are without Ehlers and Barron and Appleton and DeMello, right? So like the Jets are hurting a little bit, whereas the Penguins are a little bit healthier, right? So yeah, good on them for getting the win. But it was one of those games where you kind of thought to yourself, like, when are the Jets going to turn this on here? And even like I was telling you, when we came back here and we're watching the game, like it's like, okay, the Jets are going to pull the goalie with, you know, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes left, and they're going to tie this game up. And I couldn't understand how there didn't seem to be enough urgency, you know, with 3 or 4 minutes left in this game. And that's easy for me to say because the Jets were scored on with the empty net and they lost the game eventually. But it just, you know, they couldn't get the puck deep there. And Hellebuck couldn't get off. And then, you know, he was about to get off. And then we know what happened on the empty net goal where he coughed up the puck to Crosby. So
don't ruin the recap. We've only got three goals to discuss. So, I mean, and two of them are basically empty netters. So if you're giving it away for free right now, it's no good.
I forgot about the third empty netter. I mean, the third empty netter was like, okay, what was it with 2 seconds left or something like that? So yeah, I mean, again, the Jets have had a nice run, especially at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think you can really extrapolate too much from this game in terms of, you know, things that are really wrong with the Jets, because they could have easily, that they weren't getting the bounces. Sometimes you have to just say that, right? Like they weren't getting the bounces. Was it the first period when it was, I believe it was Connor took the shot and the puck was just sitting there. Remember that? And the ref didn't blow the whistle. You know, you thought Jari had it covered up. Like it just was one of those nights where the puck wasn't bouncing for them. And they just weren't getting as many grade A scoring chances as they were against Anaheim. They were getting shots, but a lot of them were, you know, from 10, 15, 20 feet away.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't be too worried. I still think you're happy, you know, where you're at after 16.
Well, let's get into it, Ezzy. Let's get into the Betway game recap, which is brought to you, not surprisingly, by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Well, Ez, I mean, if you were betting on goals, you weren't making any money because it took all the way to the third period, 53 seconds exactly into the third period before a goal was scored. And it was a bit of an unfortunate one, a bit of a, you know, I think Jason Zucker caught Connor Hellebuck a little unaware. Maybe he wasn't expecting that puck to come back to Zucker and to take that shot. But they score 53 seconds into the third period of a 0-0 game and break the scoreless. It wasn't scoreless. It was a score of 0-0 to take a 1-0 lead for the visitors.
Yeah, I know. You always hate it when people say scoreless. Yeah, look, at. I mean, that was a nice little give and go with Jason Zucker or Zucker, I always forget which one it is. Zucker's a guy that seemed to always score when he played for the Wild, if you remember. Remember, he scored right off of a faceoff?
Yeah.
That's going back probably 5 or 6 years now. But, yeah, it was just a nice give and go, and it was a well-placed shot. Like, the thing with Zucker is, like, that's why they brought him back, right? Like, is because he's a guy that has the speed, and that's the way the Penguins like to play, even though the Penguins did not look like a fast team tonight, with the exception of a few guys. So, yeah, it was a really nice give and go with Malkin. And we talked about, you know, Malkin had those two chances in the first period where he looked like he was going to score. And that, to me, that was Hellebuck's best work, was late in the first period there. I think there was about 4 or 5 minutes left when Malkin got those chances. Crosby got the chance when he stole the puck from Morrissey and went in. So, you know, should Hellebuck have saved that? Sure. But, like, you know, it's easy for me to say that to a guy who, you know, right now is probably the front runner for the Vezina Trophy, right? I think he is probably, I mean, at the very least, Hellebuck has been a top three goalie, you know, so far this season. So should he have had it? Yeah, but it's a pretty decent shot from Zucker.
Well, and you know, we should mention also, as like one of the things that wasn't really going was the power play, right? They had a couple of looks. It seemed like power play two might have had the better ones. Pierre-Luc Dubois continues. I mean, going back to the second period, because we have to talk about something in this game, but that's one of the areas that the Jets really do need to kind of get going, get, you know, that's where you're going to build your success. Because if it's not going 5-on-5, how are you going to do it? You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois takes the first penalty of the game, and then he draws two others. And that is one of the things that Pierre-Luc Dubois seems to be very effective at in his game, is getting under guys' skin and drawing penalties. And I, you know, even on the play where, you know, he drew the penalty, tapped the puck to himself, managed to try and get a play, you know, try and create something. He did seem to be kind of dragging the Jets into that fight, as they like to say. But that's one of the things that we are seeing more and more from Pierre-Luc Dubois, is his ability to draw penalties throughout the course of a hockey game.
Yeah, and we talked about it, you know, a couple minutes into the show. Like, that was a bad roughing penalty. Obviously, yeah. You know, the Penguins didn't score on the power play, Dave, but he made up for it, right, by drawing penalties. He could have probably drawn another, you know, couple penalties. And yeah, like he for me, he was probably the Jets' best forward, or one of the Jets' best forwards tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's to be expected. I mean, he is a veteran on this team now. It's not, even though he's only 24 years old, I believe he's 24 years old, 24, 25 years old. He's a veteran, and mm-hmm. you know, he's expected in that 2C slot. He's you know what you're going to get out of him. And you know, we kind of talked about it, that line wasn't their best night, but you could see Cole Perfetti was trying to create offense. It just was, it's too easy to say it's just one of those games, Dave, mm-hmm. but you kind of got the feeling, kind of, you know, midway through the game, towards the end of the second period, like, this was not going to be an exciting game. Like, at least I didn't get that feeling that all of a sudden the Jets were going to turn it on. And it was really, you know, I don't know what it was. Like, was it just, you know, the Penguins, you know, playing better than the Jets expected them to play, or we expected them to play? Certainly in the third period, the Penguins did a good job of shutting it down defensively. But yeah, it just, you know, it didn't seem like you had enough guys creating offense tonight, aside from, as we talked about, Shifley, Connor, and Pierre-Luc Dubois on the line with Wheeler and Perfetti. So, yeah, you're going to have to go back to the drawing board, and, you know, you've got a really tough game coming up on Monday against Carolina.
Well, and, you know, look, the reality, of course, is, again, in a 0-0 game through 40 minutes, it's not as if you're saying one team or the other is dominating, because both goaltenders have played well to that point, and there were some nice plays, right? I mean, you got to give... You know, even if we're not saying the Jets were super effective offensively, there were some nice plays defensively, I thought. And one specifically that I'm thinking of is the Cole Perfetti killing the 2-on-1,
yep.
Getting back just in time to get, and, you know, good communication. I think Pionk was the defenseman who was back, and it was good communication by him to kind of direct Perfetti where to go. And I don't know if people picked that up, but it was kind of interesting to see, you know, him say, okay, you know, you've got Malkin, and for him to get back. And I mean, it's funny because Malkin still got a pretty damn good shot off that, you know, was going top corner, but it was nice on Perfetti to be able to get back. And he, you know, again, he's just adjusting, right? I mean, he's still a rookie in the NHL, even though it feels like, it's funny, it feels like he's been pro for a few years now he has been pro for a few years, but pro for many, many years. And yet, you know, he's still relatively young in terms of his NHL life. So, I mean, he's adjusting to the NHL, and he talked about it. There's still an awe a little bit when he knows he's going up against Sidney Crosby and you know, Evgeny Malkin, and these basically guys who are super
deer in the headlights.
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have cups, right? And it's not as if these guys, you know, don't know what it takes to win. And you know, even look at the play that Sidney Crosby made in the first period on Josh Morrissey.
Yeah,
look how good Josh Morrissey's been playing this year. And Sidney Crosby still can steal a puck off of you and make you look like almost like a rookie, the way he kind of had Morrissey turned inside out and managed to still create a chance. So, but again, you got to give credit to Perfetti for recognizing the defensive responsibility. And I think that's what we've seen from this Jets team now, is a much greater sense of, and we've been talking about this for a while now, but if that responsibility to get back to cover for the defenseman if they're pinching or whatever it is. So I wanted to highlight that play by, to me.
No, it was Fetty. No, it was absolutely a nice play that, you know, just shows you, you know, how much more mature he is than his age, as you mentioned, Dave.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to mention just overall about, you know, the Jets forward lines and how they were creating offense tonight. Like, to me, this was one of those games where I think I would like to have seen a little bit more of that line blender. Like, it's crazy because we always used to say that Paul Maurice used to use the line blender too much. But to me, something needed to change with those forward lines, right, Dave? Like, throughout the first two periods, like going into that third period, to me, that, like, you and you saw, you know, Scheifele and Lowry out there, certain both out there for some defensive zone faceoffs. And we talked about it. You saw Scheifele and Dubois out there late in the third period, you know, both centers out there, right, for obvious reasons, right, in case one of them, you know, gets kicked out of the draw, the other can step in there. But there was just something tonight that was not clicking. Chemistry is a word I've seen a lot in the chat. And, yeah, you just didn't see a lot of, you know, chemistry really throughout the four forward line. So you're going to have to figure this out. You know, you've got Carolina coming up, and then, you know, you don't have any back-to-backs coming up, but you're going to play Chicago, you're going to play Dallas, you're going to play Minnesota, not in that order, but, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to have to start creating more offense. It's not as big of a problem when you play a team like Anaheim, arguably right. the worst team defensively in the league. They are dead last when it comes to standings. We all, you know, saw how, I mean, the Jets could have had 4 or 5 goals in that game if it wasn't for John Gibson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I would have liked to seen a little bit more, the old Paul Maurice line blender, just to get, you know, something going. Because, you know, with the exception of 3 or 4 forwards, like, you know, we mentioned Kyle Connor was good tonight. You know, Scheifele and Dubois were good tonight, but Perfetti, but yeah, there were, you know, it was just too quiet from too many Jets players tonight.
Well, Ezzy, I think I know the secret as to why the Jets lost this game. And I'm going to credit Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press, because Mike tweeted out, the Jets are 6-0 when they do not sell out the building. They are 0-2 when they do sell out the building. So stop going to Jets games, fans. You've got to stop going to games, because clearly that is the difference.
The other sellout. Oh, no, sorry. So what was the other sellout then?
I'm assuming the Leafs game.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought the home opener against the Rangers was a sellout, but obviously not.
No. But no, because they won that game.
Right. Both Saturday night games, too, they lost.
There you go. The other thing coming from our friend Murat Attest of The Athletic, Josh Morrissey said, Pittsburgh shut down things in the neutral zone and Winnipeg didn't do well enough to get through. Well, I would think that's a pretty good assessment. That's what one of the things we talked about was.
Definitely in the third period, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I mean, it throughout the game as well. But in the third period, they were putting up the old German wall like you saw, you know, in the Olympics, right? Where you just have, you know, like 5 players back in the blue line.
Yeah.
But yeah, good, you know, give Pittsburgh credit. And that's the thing too, Dave. Like, they were just a little bit more desperate, just a little hungrier, I thought, in certain parts of this, the key parts of this game, right? So, yeah. You know, they, like I said, Pittsburgh is a team that I don't think is going to win the Stanley Cup. I don't even think, you know, they're going to, you know, get to the conference finals or the second round. But I wouldn't sleep on them, because that's what they do. They always get into the playoffs. So, you know, maybe this is going to be kind of, you know, a rallying point of the season for them.
Well, they're feeling good about themselves. You know, they've got back-to-back victories now, and maybe they'll be able to build on that. And, you know, lots of Crosby and Malkin jerseys in the crowd. There was like I said, there was an unusually large Pittsburgh contingent. But again, that to me is not a bad thing. The thing that confuses me, I mentioned this on Twitter and to you, was the fact that, you know, the number of people who are wearing jerseys that have nothing to do with the teams that are playing are right in the building and sitting across from us in the press box from our, where we could watch. Whereas a guy wearing a Leafs jersey, there were 3 Habs jerseys.
And I don't get it, Dave, because if you're a Leafs fan, for example,
yeah,
right, and you're going to watch the Jets and Penguins, like, why not just not wear your Leafs jersey? Like, that's what let's see what the chat thinks.
That's what here. I'm wondering. I'm wondering what the chat is.
I feel like, you know, who, I really don't care. Like, wear whatever jersey you want. Come to the game naked. I really don't care. But well, the thing is, like, I just don't get it, because you're not watching the team that the jersey you're wearing, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just an odd kind
is
of
it thing. Is it a David Putty? Like, you got to support the team? Like, I'm just confused. Yeah. So, you know, and then, and the funny thing is that actually, you know, because the Jets do that during the during the commercial break, they'll do like jersey fouls, like why are you here kind of thing. And there was a guy wearing a Golden Knights jersey and we think a Kings one. They showed it up quickly. So we're not entirely certain, but what would you see? Vinny's saying support your team no matter what. So maybe people just feel that, hey, if you got to rep the brand, you're going to wear it. I mean,
I like it, Vinny.
All right. That's there you go. There's the answer. Vinny's giving it to us. There we go. So, oh, Earl would wear a onesie. I've got a Fireball onesie if you want, Earl, that you can throw in there. So we've got that one. That'll be for a special post game. I think I was going to wear that. Wasn't I going to wear that as on the Halloween post game show?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I forgot. So now it's got to sit in the closet for another year. Anyways, we got to get back to this game recap. Oh, and one other notable fact, since there really weren't that many about this game, was the fact that Kyle Connor was playing in his 400th NHL game. And, you know, it like I said to you.
And Malkin, 999.
Was it? Okay. Well, and it's funny because to me, you know, I feel like it was just yesterday we were watching Kyle Connor play at the University of Michigan and, you know, getting hosed by not winning the Hobie Baker, but, you know, just dominating pretty much every game for the Wolverines. And now, you know, we've seen him quite a few nights doing that here for the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL. But, you know, him already playing 400 games is unbelievable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, coming off of the hat trick, you know, he followed it up with a really solid night. It just didn't go in for him, right? Like,
yep.
You know, we could sit here and analyze, you know, some of his best scoring chances. I probably wouldn't remember them, to be honest with you. But, yeah, no, like it just, you know, there were just not enough second chances and just not, you know, enough offense throughout the lineup in general, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, some of the chances that Scheifele and Connor had and Dubois had, but it just, you know, they didn't go in for them tonight. And, you know, that's going to be the case in an 82 game season, you know, you're not always going to be able to score four or five goals. Right. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't be too worried about it. I mean, Carolina is a very good defensive team. But you know, these guys aren't intimidated by, I think anybody, like the veterans of this team aren't intimidated by any one team in the NHL. So, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about, you know, the game on Monday or, you know, the road trip coming up. You know, it's just, yeah.
Well,
it's the first time the Jets have been shut out. We're not used to it this year, but it's a game in which, you know, you're going to have to just forget about that one.
Well, we went from one goal in the first minute of the third period, and then it took a significant amount of time for there to be another goal. Of course, I think there was about a minute 34, if I recall correctly, left in the game when the Pens got their second goal. The assists go Brian Rust, Sidney Crosby, Connor Hellebuck. Obviously not really Connor Hellebuck, but it was it was kind of an unusual situation. And you were talking to me and you were saying like, the Jets don't seem to have any urgency in trying to tie this game. And, you know, you look, when it's a one goal game, you don't need to pull your goaltender with 5 minutes. There's lots of time in the game to try and get some sort of momentum and then get your goaltender out when you've created that momentum. But at the same time, you need to have that urgency, that desperation. And we saw it, right? We saw it at the line. The Jets were trying to penetrate. They couldn't. The Pens, you know, stood five across and really weren't giving the Jets the opportunity to gain access to the zone. But at the same time, as you and I were talking about it, like, there just didn't seem to be a plan with Connor Hellebuck to get him out of the net. And then when they finally did, you know, he gets left in no man's land. And, you know, with Sidney Crosby, the guy who's going to receive that puck, I mean, there's almost nothing that's going
to happen. Did Hellebuck not see him there? Like, I don't know if Hellebuck, like, he spun around and backhanded it right to Crosby. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. That was a very bizarre goal. And obviously, like, a gimme for Zucker, right? But, who was it, Zucker? No, it was Rust. Who got the first? Yeah, it was Rust that got the first.
Yeah, Zucker got the first goal. Rust got the second.
Sorry, yeah, Rust got the second. I should know, Dave. There were only three goals scored in this game, but it's been a long weekend. But even though there's still another day to it, but I think that, you know, the Jets, you know, have to take a little bit of blame, not just Hellebuck on that goal for getting possession and not getting control of the puck, so Hellebuck could cleanly get to the bench. And again, we're not going to spend too much time on this. I just thought, you know, Hellebuck should have been off. He shouldn't have even been on the ice at that point. He should have been off the ice a lot. There was a dump in. It was a soft dump in, and the Jets didn't have control, but it was deep enough that Hellebuck could get out of the net. So, I mean, in that particular case, I just think, you know, everything went wrong there, and the Jets just couldn't get anything established in the pen zone. But yeah, miscue, and you know, Hellebuck continues to struggle playing the puck. It's the one area of his game that he struggles with. I still think he's the best goaltender in the league right now, but you know, playing the puck just isn't his strong suit.
Definitely not. And of course, the Jets tried to call a timeout, tried to create a little bit of pressure. And I'm not going to ask you to break down the empty net goal with 4 seconds to go, but that was insult to injury, Ezzy, to end that contest for the Jets. And like you said, it's one of those games you just didn't have it going, and you have to, you know, throw it out the window. And, you know, you've split the two games so far at home, and now you're looking to do better against Carolina and end the homestand.
Put this one in the poo bell.
That's right. And Alan, for the record, I did not forget. Alan's jumping ahead. See, that's the thing. Alan's saying that I forgot to put in the code. Well, actually, I did, Alan. Technically, I did do it. I'm going to do it during the commercial break. But you shouldn't be guessing anyways. It doesn't really matter because, you know, technically the postgame show isn't on till right now. And when it is, the Illegal Curve contest is running. So right now, the old one is still in effect. We'll have the new one. There'll be a new word. You'll get your points. Hey, look, if you sat through that game and you've sat through the Illegal Curve hockey show earlier this morning and you sat through the Illegal Curve postgame with Ezzy and I for the first 36 and a half minutes so far, we appreciate that. We're going to give people bonus points, actually. I'm going to make this one worth 15, not 10 entries. So bonus points for everyone.
We also have a Tough Duck toque to give away.
So yeah.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. So the Jets lose. They fall to 10-5-1 on the regular season, and they will face the Carolina Hurricanes on Monday. Ezzy and I have lots still to say, so don't go anywhere. Spend your Saturday night with Ginsburg and Manuk. Smash the like button while you're waiting. Enjoy the commercials from our commercial sponsors, which are coming up on the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsburg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code Illegal Curve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's GRYD Park. And use the code Illegal Curve. All one word. You'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm Manuk, he's Ginsburg. We're talking Jets 3-0 loss, first shutout of the season against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sid the Kid is in town. Geno Malkin, a lot of excitement. Chris Letang, Jeff Carter.
Those guys are pretty good.
Still pretty good. Have a couple Stanley Cup rings amongst them. So that's not a bad little contingent that folks got to see. And, you know, we'll just end. We obviously the Betway game recap. Well, we have to do the Betway game recap was brought to you, of course, by Betway. As it's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. So we thank our friends from Betway for being with us throughout the course of the season. We thank you for being with us throughout the course of the season. And one of the ways in which we thank you, of course, is by, you know, giving you stuff for free. And whether that's a Tough Duck
swag,
if you will. We've got some Illegal Curve swag.
Merch.
That's also a word we use for it as. So we've got the Tough Duck hardest. Let's go in different order. As we're going to go Tough Duck hardest hitting comment of the day. And I've got it highlighted, or I had it highlighted. Now it's disappeared on me. Hold on. Here we go. Ezzy, here you're going to read the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Absolutely. Lots of good comments. We like it. A lot of people, I think, overreacting a little bit. A lot of people saying this is just one good game. I like this one because Hugh Wachenko here says, I think in a lot of years, this type of game would worry me. Not so much this year, though. Jets still got chances, played well defensively, just couldn't finish, still optimistic for the year. I like that comment, Hugh, because I agree with you. And I think I saw someone else, you know, point out that the Jets were at 21 points after 15 games last year, and they were at 21 points in 15 games. And now that they lost 3-0 to Pittsburgh, the downward spiral is going to begin. I think that's completely ridiculous. Hellebuck was not playing this good at this point last year.
Yeah.
The Ehlers injury does worry me. Don't get me wrong. It does worry me a lot. But I do think that, you know, the Jets, when they get guys like Barron and Appleton back, that's going to help. But, you know, they are going to have to get some more offense from guys like Cole Perfetti and Blake Wheeler and, you know, guys on the third line, Adam Lowry, guys like Saku Manilainen. So, like that comment from Hugh, very optimistic. It was a very negative feeling after that game ended, but I think you still have to remember that the Jets are 10-5-1, so they're doing pretty good. So Hugh, send me an email, Ezra, E-Z-R-A, or E-Z-R-A if you're American, at illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into my DMs, I-C-E-Z-G on Twitter, because Twitter apparently hasn't been shut down by the evil genius Elon Musk yet, so you can do it that way. And Hugh, Tough Duck will send out a toque to you directly.
So thank you, Hugh, for participating and the moment you've all been waiting for. Alan beaconed me a little bit in the chat because he said it was too easy. Well, Alan, usually I have this, like, I'm calm, cool. Drew's doing stuff. I've already done this well in advance. But, you know, we had a lot going on today. There was a lot of work I was doing. So I wasn't able to just quite get it that quickly. But I'm giving you bonus points because I did it late. So the unique code word for the Illegal Curve contest is... This is a hard one. Sid the Kid. So Sid the Kid will, because you know what, like I said, the 2005 first overall pick is still a joy to watch, even if he is a 17 year maybe not 17 years, but he's been in the league a long time, and he's still an enjoyable player to watch, and he still can do so many things.
And he is still Sid the Kid. People are like, oh, now he's 35, 36 years old. he's not Sid the Kid. No, he's always Sid the Kid. Come on.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. And so, hey, if you put that in, you know what? You get the chance to win merch for the Illegal Curve contest. And we've got authentic jerseys. We've got Jets hats. We've got Jets t-shirts. So if you want to win, and you sometimes get a visit from me, if that's kind of an extra bonus. I'm not doing the rural ones. I've done a couple of, unfortunately, the Winkler and Morton ones have gone by mail. I'm not sure about the Carmen ones. I know we've got some folks who listen from Carmen. Carmen's a little bit closer. I could probably do Carmen. Pop in, see Eddie the Eagle Belfour, who was always nice enough when my uncle was an artist, and he would draw. He was a phenomenal artist, actually, and he used to draw off my old hockey cards. And he was a teacher out in St. Leon. And so he would drive out and he would drive through Carmen. And I don't know how he knew where the Belfours lived, but he would stop at the Belfours and he would leave it. And Eddie the Eagle Belfour signed it. So always appreciative of
Eddie the Eagle. He knew where they lived, Dave, because you just, when you go to Carmen, you just ask someone.
Well, it does say the home of Eddie the Eagle Belfour.
Where are the Belfours? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Eddie the Eagle Belfour. Shout out to Pamina
Valley. There you go. There you go. Actually, some good. I was just hearing some good Eddie the Eagle Belfour stories. Anyways, getting back to the contest, though, as we got to finish off the winner. The winner was Spencer Sutton. So, Spencer Sutton, you are the winner.
Boy, Spencer.
You are the winner of the Illegal
Curve contest. Is Spencer watching, though? That's what we need to know.
That's what we always like to see. We always Spencer, like to see people in the chat. I didn't see Spencer chit-chatting, but I generally do see Spencer in the chat. So
we've got his info. We'll get a hold of
him. I was going to say, but you don't have to, Darwin, don't worry about Drew. Well, Drew is away from the show. It's just Ginsburg and Manuk. We're going to get we still got some things to go, yeah. But no, Drew tonight. Anyway, Spencer, you don't have to be in the chat, but just make sure you enter because that's the only way you can win and you get authentic merch and it's a lot of fun. And we have a lot of, in Bones We Trust. He or she says, I'll take one jersey, please. Well, you can. You just have to enter the contest.
Hey, actually, I'm pretty sure In Bones We Trust hasn't contacted me now that I think about it.
Oh, the Tough Duke.
Yeah.
Tough Duck Duke.
In Bones We Trust. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send me your mailing address and phone number because I don't know which game it was, the Chicago game, the Montreal game. I'm not sure. But In Bones We Trust, I believe we picked as the hardest hitting comment winner. I don't think he's got a hold of us yet, or she, I should say. So,
yes.
Yeah, get a hold of us and we'll send you a toque.
But just remember, guys, this is a cumulative contest. So the continue to enter, and we've got, like I said, you can retweet new things almost on a daily basis. And so there's always ways to gain more entries. And look at Bailey. Bailey's got 82 entries for the contest. And so that's what we like to see.
I think Bailey's going to win soon. I just have that feeling. Like, Bailey's active in the chat. Bailey wants that merch. I think it's going to happen.
That's the only way you can win, Ezzy, is by being active. Well, no, you don't have to be active in the chat. We appreciate that. And speaking of chat and being active, one of the things we always love, when you comment. So if you can write comments on the YouTube videos, if you can write comments, this is when I'm asking a personal favor for the 100 of you who are currently joining us on your Saturday night. Go to the Illegal Curve. If you use Apple or if you use Spotify or whatever, leave a comment on the podcast. Let us know what you like. You don't have to tell us what you don't like. You can maybe just message Ezzy or I. But, like I said, give us a rating. Do that. We appreciate that kind of thing. That always goes a long way. And so, it's been a long day. It's been a lot of hockey talk. But it's never too soon to do this.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I wasn't sure if you were going to squeak that in. I thought you were going to wrap up there. I was getting a little bit nervous.
I was contemplating. And in fact, why I was delaying was because the Moose and Stars are currently in overtime right now. So one of you will have to.
Manuk Moose Minute?
Yeah, this is actually, and it's funny actually, because there's actually a minute 33. Actually, should I just pull the game up on my phone and we can all watch it together and I can just, do a little color, pretend like Daniel Fink is beside me and I'm doing some, my pedantic analysis in the Moose broadcast booth.
Sure.
I probably shouldn't do that for other reasons. But anyways, quickly, because of course it's been a long day, Ezzy, and I know folks are going to go to Kenny and Rennie, who are probably doing the post-game show. But
Kenny the Moose, live from Regina, right?
He is, in fact, live from Regina. So the Moose got off to a very fast start in Texas, much like yesterday, as scoring on their first shot of the game. Greg Morales, his first of the year, on the first shot of the game, 18 seconds into the first period, So they got the memo. They wanted to have a quick start, and that's just what they did. And then they kept coming with the same sort of, well, the memo still applies. And Wyatt Bongiovanni, the college signee, he had his third of the year on the second shot of the game for the Moose. Nice work by 2020 second rounder Daniel Torgerson. He kind of did all the heavy lifting on that one, got it over to Wyatt Bongiovanni, who was in front, and put it into the empty net. And then a couple of minutes after that, 2 minutes and 9 seconds to be precise, Alex Limoge, he scores his fourth of the season. Nice move, very similar almost to Jeff Mellott's, kind of walked out. Texas kind of five guys standing and watching Alex Limoge walk right in front of the Stars net and put it into the top corner to make it a 3-0 game. Moose have three goals on about five or six shots, 4:22 into the first period. And you're thinking to yourself, well, the Moose are cruising, and this is kind of the Moose pattern, right? Lose the first game of the series and win the second game. But Texas woke up, and Texas played the Moose very well yesterday, and they continued to do so. And they scored two goals in under a minute late in that first period to make it a 3-2 game. And I think they outshot the Moose like 17-4 or something, 17-6, sorry, in that first period. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, now this is going to go the other way. And it didn't for the second period. Neither team scored. And then in the third period, Texas scored again to make it a 3-3 game and send it to overtime, which is where it is with 10 seconds to go as in overtime. So it looks like, unless something crazy happens, that this game is going to go to a shootout, which would be, I believe, the first. Yeah, see, Alan doesn't want me to do this because we'll be flagged for copyright violation. Well, Alex, you know, the AHL and I have a good relationship, so I'm not so sure.
We have a pretty good relationship with the Moose, so I think we're good. But yeah. I mean, anyway. So basically, Dave, do you have a quarter there or something like that? Just flip it up and we'll see who's going to win this game.
Yeah, you're not a big fan. Ezzy is not a big fan of the shootout. So we will have to hope that the game ends in overtime, but it doesn't look like it's going to. It looks like it's going to go to a shootout. We're not going to do live play-by-play of the shootout, so the Moose will come away with a point, which is not a bad thing at least, and maybe two, and we'll have to save the rest of that, the game analysis, as he for the game on Monday, in the post-game show on Monday. So let's wrap it up talking about the Bombers. Bombers, big Grey Cup game tomorrow against Toronto. And I know Drew gave it short shrift, even though Drew's like a diehard Bomber fan. I'm a lot less. Yeah, so
what was that? Like, he left it for like, you know, 2 hours and 2 minutes into the show. I had to push him to.
And yeah, he would. I don't think he would have mentioned it if you didn't. So, I mean, you know, for the folks that are in the chat with us still, and we appreciate all of you joining us here on the Illegal Curve postgame show. You know, what are your general feelings? What are your general thoughts? I'm seeing some scores. C-Mac thinks Bombers 30, Argos 16. I saw Earl James, Earl's 31-13 Bombers. B. Henderson, that's a really bold prediction. 55-0 Bombers. So
55-0. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that's a significant one. So
the big thing is Zach Collaros is healthy. I mean, we all knew that in the West final against BC, you know, he couldn't finish the game, but he's healthy, ready to go. That's the most important thing. Toronto's got a good running game, but I just don't think, you know, they're going to be able to stop this Bombers team. Nobody really was throughout the season, you know, expecting big things out of Brady Oliveira. He was excellent in the West final, something like 155 combined yards rushing and receiving. You know, expect big things out of Nick Dembski as well. And that Blue Bomber defense led by Willie Jefferson and Adam Big Hill and others, right? So it's going to be exciting. I mean, all of those lean years that we went through, Dave, here in Winnipeg with the Bombers, now we're in a position that we can win our third in a row. Not many teams in any sport are able to do that. So it's going to be an incredible, you know, day for Bombers fans everywhere watching, or, you know, in Regina. You know, there's going to be tons of Bombers fans there in Saskatchewan, right? We've seen them. Our buddy Jeff Paulson, I know, saw him in Regina taking in the game. So yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really just excited to have, you know, all these snacks with my kids. We're going to do nachos. You know, we're going to do all sorts of chocolate. We'll get the chocolate peanuts going. Maybe I'll have a beer or two. So it's going to be exciting. You know, we'll be texting, I'm sure, Dave, throughout the game. And a lot of people will be, you know, getting together in big groups and watching the game. So it's going to be awesome. Bombers fans deserve this.
I have a question. Does Spencer Sutton realize that he won the Illegal Curve contest and won a Jets jersey? Do you think, because I didn't see a comment from Spencer Sutton. So do you think
Spencer popped in late?
That's what I mean.
I don't know if Spencer knows. Spencer, I don't think. Do you know that you won a Jets jersey?
Yeah, like, hold on, Spencer, look, you were the IC merchandise winner.
It's all about you right now, man.
I was going to say, I'm not so sure Spencer is aware.
The Illegal Curve post-game show has become the Spencer Sutton show.
Well, this is like Illegal Curve After Dark right now. This is Ezzy and I when we're just spitballing, and this is generally what we kind of
do. Are we still live, Dave? I didn't realize we were still live.
We are still live, Ez. We are definitely still live. And so, look, it's been a fun day for sports here in Winnipeg. We appreciate all of you supporting us and joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And of course, on the Illegal Curve postgame show, Jets lose 3-0 to the Penguins. You've got Moose and Stars tied 3-3 in a shootout. I'm watching it on my phone right now. So I got that going. We've got the Ice and Ez, what's the score in the Ice game? Do you know? I'm not, I know that someone
been paying attention.
It was 2-1 for the Ice over Regina. We had Connor Geeky, who's joined us this morning.
Great interview, by the way.
Connor, yeah, really good today. Yeah, that was nice of the Ice to set that up, and we really enjoyed having Connor on the show. Oh, Spencer's in Regina, is he? Well, that doesn't mean that you couldn't have been in the chat though, Spencer. So regardless, we're gonna connect with you after, and we'll get you the your Illegal Curve gear.
Should we email Spencer the link, and he can just come on the show right now?
No, but anyways, although I like that idea that someone suggested that before.
I've never met a Spencer I didn't like.
Hmm.
Know a few Spencers.
I know. I'm trying to think about it. I don't know. I don't know that many Spencers.
But you've worn suspenders.
No, never. Sorry. Oh, the Stars just scored on the shootout. So, 4-1. Thank you, Cord Kicker. 4-1 Ice final. So, or maybe it's 4-1 Ice, I should say. Probably not a final.
20-1.
Well, look, I mean, it's a pretty incredible, you know, this will be, if they win, the 15th win in a row, and they'll be the first team to 20 wins in the WHL.
What kind of cords is Cord Kicker kicking, by the way? Like, are we talking like electrical cords, phone cords, corduroy? Maybe he's kicking corduroy pants.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not so certain. Anyways, John Chan is missing Drew's rant. Sorry, Drew. Sorry, John. No. Oh, Frosty's giving us live play-by-play. That's kind of
nice. We're not missing anything with Drew. He'd just be bloviating and talking. That guy's all talk.
I do want to thank all of the Illegal Curve sponsors who make the post-game show, the Saturday show on the website, a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of the Illegal Curve Hockey.
By the way, Cord Kicker has said, I don't know if you have that comment up there, Dave, but he's saying guitar chords. So he's a guitarist.
Oh, interesting.
Like it.
All right. Oh, by the way, Brad Lambert.
Rock and roll, man.
Brad Lambert just scored on the shoot. Should we just keep doing this until?
Yeah. I don't know. So what is it, tied right now?
It looks like I think it's 1-1. I think it's 1-1. And right now I can't see these jerseys they're wearing. They're the Salmonen made the save. So John Chan, we already gave the code. The code's already there. Sid the Kid. S-I-D the T-H-E-K-I-D. Sid the Kid. I kind of wish the AHL TV's got a good app, but I kind of wish that their app provided a little bit more information. Who's shooting this? Who is that? Left shot. Oh, it's Wyatt Bongiovanni. Wyatt Bongiovanni scores. Wow. Okay. We've got two goals for the Moose.
Salmonen needs to stop the next one and then it's over.
Right? I think so. I believe the Moose will win if he scored. It's kind of hard actually. I've got the sound muted for obvious reasons, folks. So I'm not entirely certain what's happening right now. I don't have a live tracker. Oh, they score. No, they don't score. Hit the crossbar. So it looks like, come on, Frost, someone give me the insight. Cause I mean, I'm not listening with sound here, folks. This has got to be riveting television to be watching. Kevin Stenlund is up right now. He had, he's feeling good about his game. Got boarded a couple times.
I think he's going to score.
I like how he's talking. And Kevin Stenlund does not score. The folks in Texas are very happy. By the way, as an aside, and one of the things that folks who, I don't know how many people here have AHL TV, but the camera angles are very different in all the buildings. Texas has one of the worst. They're constantly popping in and out. It gives you a motion sickness just watching this stuff.
It's like some guy is just sitting in the crowd shooting this on like a consumer camera.
That's what it feels like. It actually is. Oh, Frost. So Frosty, what is the score? Fifth set of players right now. Okay, well, it's going to be, Ezzy doesn't like the shootout, but maybe he likes the long shootout. Next shooter is Isaac Johnson. Isaac Johnson recently recalled from the Newfoundland Growlers. Spencer, come on. I'm not teasing you. I never said it was going to happen.
Send Spencer the link. Let's get Spencer on here. He's probably
we don't have enough time. We gotta go. Oh, Isaac Johnson with the win. Gets the recall, gets nice. The win. The Moose win it.
We needed that closure, Dave. We needed to know the Moose got that extra point.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I wanted the people to be part of this experience.
We want people to leave the show happy. That's all we ever want in the Legal Curve post-game show. Even if the Jets lose,
there you go.
The Ice won, the Moose won, and you know the Blue and Gold are winning tomorrow.
Yeah, although they think someone in the AHL app got it wrong because they just said Stars goal in overtime by Ben Gleason, which would make no sense since we just watched the shutout. Well, hey, you just got to watch an AHL game with Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and not
but you actually didn't get to watch it at all. It was just us talking about the
you game. Actually, you know what's funny though, Ezzy? It's funny. People, what are really big on YouTube, I don't know why, are reaction videos. So people reacting to videos. So that's kind of what you just watched. Yeah, exactly. You just watched a reaction video to the Jets winning, the Moose winning, sorry. The Jets lose, the Moose win. Now we just need the
we need to wrap this up. I have to go home to my family.
Yes, there you go. Okay, well, that I don't need any more incentive than that. Ezzy's giving me the heave-ho, folks. So congratulations to Spencer.
I have to stop on the 7-11.
People all know. But hey, let's put it this way. That was the longest Minuk Moose Minute that we've ever done. So appreciate that, everyone. Spencer.
You, change it to Minuk Moose Minutes.
Yes, it is the minutes. It is the minutes. So anyways, thank you all for joining us on your Saturday night. We really appreciate it. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show was obviously earlier. Make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you check us out on the podcast. You can download that. IllegalCurve.com. That'll be your site for all the latest Jets news. We'll be back up. We're going to have the postgame
information. And find Spencer Sutton in Regina. If you're in Regina, go party with
Spencer. If you're in Regina, give Spencer a big high five for winning the Illegal Curve contest. Give Hugh a high five for winning the contest. And give each other a high five for joining us on a Saturday night. We appreciate it. Thank you very much for supporting the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm Dave Minuk. That's Ezra Ginsberg. And we are out of here. So good night and have a happy and safe rest of your Grey Cup weekend.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.